We've called this series of lessons Family, the Shadow of Things to Come. And the reason is that I believe there are a lot of repeat themes in life that give us a little insight into the nature of God. And families provide some of the best clues, I think, into the nature of God. And I'd like to talk about fathers for a few minutes this morning. Last week, I told a little story about my oldest, Lindy and mine's oldest boy, Logan. He's 24 now, I think. But he was 2 at one time, and I was pushing a lawnmower, and I wanted to just reset that scene for you. Last week, we talked about it from the kid's perspective, about what he wanted out of me, and I'd like to reframe it into a paradigm of looking at it from a dad's perspective and see if we can gather any insight into what God's like. I was mowing the lawn in Tennessee with a push mower, and something caught the corner of my eye, and I looked over there, and there was Logan. He was about 2 or maybe 3, and he had himself a little Fisher-Price push mower toy. And it was orange and yellow to the best of my recollection. And I glanced at him, and that little old boy, he was just flying everywhere. He was just going around pushing that mower and pushing it, and it had a little old clicker on it when the wheels turned. Made it sound like an engine running. So he didn't want the engine to die, so he just kept it going real fast. And he had his tongue like this. You know, he kind of worked his tongue as he walked, and His tennis shoes, he had tennis shoes on, and they were untied and fresh cut grass all over them, stained green. And that boy was serious about his job. He was really working hard. And so I just stopped for a minute and peered at him. And then I started laughing at him. I thought, man, look at that boy. He is really getting with it. And so I walked over to him. And he looked up at me kind of scared because he wasn't too sure, you know, that he was doing it right, I guess. And so I leaned down to him and said, Logan, look at all that grass you cut, boy. You're doing a great job. Man, I'm proud of you. Man, he just beamed. You know, he just smiled all over his face. He was so happy. And the lesson I got out of that was kids really like approval. And then if I look at it from the dad's point of view, sometimes approval can be earned from toy tools. Isn't that a weird thought? Let's revisit that boy just a minute. Now, what exactly is he doing? Yeah, but what's he getting done? Ooh. Pardon me? He wasn't doing anything worthwhile. All he was doing was running around over grass I'd already cut. Well, he didn't have a lawnmower that was big enough, for one thing. I could have used the help, mind you. I could have, in fact, I did later on. But right then I didn't. But he was busy. He was working hard. He was worried that I wouldn't approve of him. And he was really trying hard. But here's the truth of the matter. He wasn't being productive worth a flip. Because he had toy tools. Plus, he was 2 years old and he didn't know how to do any good. So, if I was trying to get him to do something that was efficient and that was worth something, then I would be justified in getting mad at him because he wasn't helping me like I could have used the help. He couldn't stay in the lines. His mower didn't cut. But what I found myself doing was laughing at him. And I had the finest little old set of joy bursts there that is possible for a human to have. I just loved watching that boy. Now, why? Yes, ma'am, Ms. Gill. Yeah. The joy I had, the satisfaction I had, had nothing to do with the kind of job he did. What made me happy was he's trying to be like me. Yeah, Glenn? Thank you, Glenn. Yes, sir. Thank you. When we're little bitty, our daddies can do anything. And they're smarter than anybody in the world, and they can beat up everybody. And later we find out that's not always the case. But when we're little, that really does appear to be the case with our dads. Now, if we get back to Logan here and take a look at him, what he's really doing is he's trying hard to do that job, but he can't do it, and he's not able to do it. Now, I want to ask you a question. I haven't talked with very many people in the world who don't want to be better in some way. They want to be better. And then we got constant reminders that we're not better. But what if I dwell on and think on doing something wrong? To God, is it kind of the same way as me doing it? If I dream about and daydream and want to do wrong, to God, is it about the same as doing it? He who looks on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery already with her in his heart. All right, is that kind of saying what I'm saying there? All right, let me ask you this. If you really want to do right, and you don't know how, or you don't get the opportunity, does God look at it like you did right? See, Logan wanted to do right. And I was happy as I could be, even though he couldn't do right. I'm wondering if that's like God. What do you think? You either miss the opportunity, or you're too dumb, or you're too shy, or you're too anything, and don't get it done. Okay. If you pass it up. Yeah. I see. Okay, thank you. Is that Terry? Go ahead, Terry. That's why I was happy about it. I was happy because he was trying real hard and he wanted to be like me. Those were the two reasons I figured out that I was real happy. I'm just wondering if that's like God. Yes, ma'am. All right, thank you. Yes, Brother Todd. Thank you. Part of my challenge in the world is trying to learn how to believe in God. How do I believe in somebody I can't see? What I'm thinking maybe is that everywhere around us we can see God. And I'm thinking that perhaps the things that are manifest themselves in the world are shadows of that, like fatherhood. And so I'm thinking that maybe if we look at fathers when it works right, it doesn't always work right. But when we look at fatherhood, perhaps we can learn something about how God is like. And so when we want to do well, and we have a big plan in place for God, like we want to do a big project for God, and then we're not able to get it done, does he like that? Does he think of, well, you didn't get it done, so I don't like you very well? Or is he thinking, well, that is pretty neat that you wanted to do that. First Chronicles. Remember King David? If you have a Bible, 1 Chronicles 28. King David, known as a man after God's own heart, God was proud of David for a lot of reasons. David was clearly a flawed human. But God was proud of him. So one of the things that David wanted to do really badly was to build a house for God. Y'all remember that? He wanted to build a temple for the Ark of the Covenant to sit in, to be God's footstool. So he spent, I imagine, a lot of years planning this temple. And he decided what it would be made of and decided what it would look like. And he really wanted to do a big project for God. Kind of like Logan wanted to mow that yard. but he wanted to do a big, fine, elaborate, nice project for God. Well, here was a problem. 1 Chronicles 28, 2. David is telling the people about his plans. And he said, King David rose to his feet and said, "Listen to me, my brothers and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house as a place of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, for the footstool of our God, and I made plans to build it. But God said to me, 'You are not to build a house for my name because you're a warrior and have shed blood.'" All right, well, that's the end of him as far as making the temple. So who ended up making that temple? Solomon did. His son made the temple. And whose plans did he use? David's. He used David's plans to build the temple. Solomon then, when he was speaking to the people, 2 Chronicles 6, what I want to know is, what did God think of David for wanting to build that temple? 2 Chronicles 6, verse 7, Solomon said to the people, "My father David had it in his heart to build a temple for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, 'Because it was in your heart to build a temple for my name, you did well to have this in your heart.'" Approval, even if you didn't do anything. Is that like God? Could be. Does he not look on the heart of the person? And so, if we're limited, most people who have, most people I end up talking to think low of themselves. Like they don't think that they accomplish very much. Well, maybe our perception of God needs to be expanded a little bit. Here's the real truth. You can't earn grace by being an efficient person. God freely gives the grace. What we can do is try to be like him. And if this is any indication, if King David is any indication, and if my attitude toward Logan is any indication, then God, he might look at me and say, "Nathan, all you got's a little old toy lawnmower. You can't do this job. You're running around. You're real busy. You're trying real hard, but you can't do the job. But because you wanted to, that sure is good." Yeah. What if God's like that? Wouldn't that free you up a lot? He's our Father. He's our Father. When we're little, our parents, especially our fathers, I think, are the closest thing to God we know. Because what they do is they provide, in our minds at least, they provide all these needs that we have. Y'all remember Maslow from last week? Maslow's self-actualization table? And right here we have food and clothing. You gotta have all that first. And then we got safety. And, I memorize these things and then I forget them. Love and belonging. Esteem and self-esteem. And then up here is self-actualization. Well, when we're little, our parents provide all this stuff for us. They provide the food and clothing, the safety, the love and belonging, the esteem, so that we can eventually end up being that. Well, so they're as close a thing to God as we know, because they have total control over our lives. Well, the problems we run into is when we grow up and find out that they don't know half as much as we thought they knew. They can't fix our adult problems. And plus, they're as flawed as they can be. They're as flawed as I am. And then we get disillusioned. And then we can turn one of two ways. We can either turn to God, who's a good parent, or we can pretend all of our lives that our own resources will fix us. And that's real hard to do. It's real hard on you to try to do that all your life. But, The truth is that our regular parents, our fathers or whoever, they're flawed people. You know, I have a lot of esteem for my dad. But my dad set up some belief systems in me that I've had to fight all my life. For instance, I begged to milk a cow till I was 8. Then I begged not to till I was 18. Anyway. But if you milk a cow, generally what you do is you feed the cow so she'll sit still while you're milking her. What we did was we bought some sweet feed that cost, I don't know how much per 100-pound bag from the feed store. But for some reason, my dad was real particular about money. He was just real urgent that I not spend any money that I didn't need to. But I had a creative streak in me. And so one day, I saw that sweet feed. We had a dirt stable floor. And I saw that sweet feed, and I thought that would make a great art project. So I got some of the sweet feed in a bucket, and I started sprinkling it around the perimeter of that stable and made these real pretty designs in the dirt with that sweet feed. But when my dad got home, I was proud of it, you know, and I wanted to show him. So I called him down there and said, "Look what I did." Whew. That was a mistake. Larry Burgess was there, my buddy. And when Dad ripped his belt off, Larry took off flying home. So I got abandoned by my best friend. Plus my daddy just wore me out with that belt. But he thought I ought to have known better. Well, what I learned from that? Better not do nothing creative because you'll get a busting. Well, that's hard to overcome. Isn't it? When you don't know when somebody's going to get mad at you, especially if they have control over your whole life. Well, all of a sudden, I didn't have any idea how I was supposed to act. Whoa, I knew I wasn't supposed to put sweet feet in the dirt, but that was so I learned stuff like that. And plus, Dad got mad easy, and anyway, don't we all, though, kind of get some messages? Don't we get some messages from our parents that they don't really mean to send sometimes? Sometimes they do mean to send them. But we get messages, intended or unintended, that then we build our beliefs around and live our lives that way and wonder why our lives don't work out good. Isn't that weird? Well, that's because our parents are flawed. That's about all you can attribute that to. They're just little old people trying to make it. And we didn't come with instruction booklets. We don't know how really to be good parents lots of times. So what is our alternative then? I think we got to adopt a good parent in order for us to be healthy in the world. We're really, really lucky, guys, if our parents exhibited a godly lifestyle to us. But don't you know that about a jillion people in the world, their parents didn't show that to us? Well, where are we going to turn then? Well, the only place we can turn is either another set of parents on earth who kind of know how to do it right, or God, who is our Father. Now, I think the studies show that if a child grows up with a godly set of parents, then it's easier for them to come to believe in a good God who loves them and who's on their side than it is if you grow up with a set of parents, or particularly maybe a father, who's mean and obnoxious and hateful. And it's harder to believe in a good God. Nevertheless, he's available. And we have the option and the ability to change our belief systems. So that's good. That's good news. Now, what does God then offer us? I'd like to just go through a few scriptures with you. And if you have a Bible and want to, go ahead and turn to those as I call them out. If not, you can sit and listen. What is God offering us? Matthew 23, verse 37. This is Jesus talking. And who is Jesus? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So who is Jesus? He's deity. All right, he's with the Father. And he says this. I don't know where he was exactly, but here's what he said about the city Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you weren't willing. What's God wanting to do? What's God offering us? Luke 12:32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. And back earlier he says, look at the lilies. Y'all are worried about everything. Look at the lilies of the field, how they grow. They don't work, they don't spin their own clothes, yet they're prettier than Solomon ever was. And they just, you know, they just die and you burn those up. So if God takes care of the lilies of the field, don't you think He'll take care of you? Don't be afraid, little flock. Your Father is pleased to give you the kingdom. What's God offering us? Luke 11:11. Earlier He says, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Because look, Luke 11:11, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? What's God offering us? First John 3:1. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that we are. And verse 2 says, dear friends, now we're children of God, and what we will be has not yet been known, been made known, but we know that when He appears, we will be like Him. Because we'll see Him as He is. Well, 1 John 3, starting with 1. We know that when He appears, we will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. So what made me so happy about little old Logan? He wanted to be like me. Is it possible that God gets real happy about us when we want to be like Him? I think so. The Father God is indeed the reality of the shadow, I think. I think the fathers on earth are kind of like shadows of the Father God. But the Father God is a reality, I'm convinced anyway, because He won't leave us. And He's always sufficient. And He loves us without condition. And He's very pleased when we want to be like Him. So, we can be like that, guys. If you hadn't been up till now, change your ways and start being like that. So, if you got kids, no matter how old they are, then start modeling God the Father to them. And if you are in a position to be a father, even if you're not blood kin, start modeling God the Father to them. My dad, one of the good things he did. My brother was crazy. He was really hyperactive. I think God had hyperactive angels on his case to keep him from dying. He would just do everything that was designed to make my dad mad at him and to put himself in danger. Well, just quickly, we had to cut a big old hemlock tree down on the creek because it was fixing to overcut and fall down, and we wanted to make lumber out of it. So we cut the thing down, hooked the Massey Ferguson tractor up to it, and was going to pull it up the hill. Well, everybody in the group knew the tractor was too little, and he wasn't going to get that done, but he just knew he could because he thought he could do anything. And so he was 4 years older than I was, and I couldn't argue with him. So he hooked the chain to the tractor, hooked the chain to the log, took off. He thought if he got a good running start, you know, it'd go up. Well, he got a running start on the flat, then hit the hill. What actually did happen was the front end of the tractor reared up like that and spun downhill. I'm amazed he didn't die. Spun downhill and then came back down on the ground. Well, I told you my dad's real particular about money. Well, the shovel was there and the tractor came down and hit the handle of that shovel and busted it right in two. Well, shovels cost money, you know. And so my dad wasn't there, but he'd be there in a minute, and so we were all kind of worried. And so here he came. He used a hickory walking stick. I remember him right now, a bunch of huckleberry vines around in that Tennessee country. And here he came winding through the Virginia creepers and huckleberries looking at everything, and we were getting worrieder and worrieder, more worried the more he came. Anyway, he came up there and just looked at all of it. Now, we were used to him blowing his top on stuff if he saw something like the time he whipped me, you know. We were used to that and expected that out of him. But this was a lot later when I was a teenager. And he just stared there and looked at all that and looked at that sideways tractor and the busted shovel and the driver, which didn't surprise him any, I bet. And his mouth turned a little bit down at the corners, but he didn't say anything. And he walked off. We weren't used to that. And so one of us said, "Aren't you going to do anything to Mike because of the shovel?" Mike was a rebel. You know, he did everything wrong. He's on his way to Harding and he got pulled over. He was drunk and stripping marijuana leaves off his plants on his way to Harding. Anyway, got arrested. But Mike changed. And I think his change started when my dad replied to that one question. "Aren't you going to do anything on account of the shovel?" And my dad said this: "The boy is worth more than the shovel." Whoa. Now that's like God. We can sink our teeth into that. Let's pray.